Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous getaway Wednesday to you. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Really good getaway show for you. Let me set it up. Coming up next segment. A Pro Football Hall of Fame defensive end, Bruce Smith, Bills Mafia. Bruce Smith coming in. And we will have that in about 15 minutes. Second hour is open, and then I'm going to end up backloading. Third hour is going to be nearly impossible for you to get through. So if there's something you want to talk about, do it right now. Hit me up. Call me. You get through Adam Hawk, you get on the air, and then good things happen. Or bad things happen. And if bad things happen, then it's good for the rest of us. 1-800-636-8686. Keaton Slovis, USC quarterback, coming up in hour number three. I know one guy was really happy about that. The flight deck, James Kelly. Slovis is his guy. Flight deck loves him. Omaha! Hey, by the way, Big Head, where the hell are you? It is Friday, right? He's not in the house.
Today's Friday.
Which means there's a lot more room in the XR4TI in their side of the glass. Minus that Big Head. Deontay Wilder, WBC heavyweight champion of the world, comes back in. That's in hour number three. The Bomb Squad. It's the 3 days that were, engineered by Alvin DeLauro. And I've got an ATP coming up. Best of tomorrow, Brian Weber in on Friday. I think I'll bust the format up and get some reaction in right off the very top. Romy, happy Thanksgiving Eve. This time of year brings back fond memories. I still have the outfit that I wore that day. And I'll never forget what it was like to step off the Mayflower for the very first time. Regards, Ike. That didn't take long, Mr. President. They're already on you. We're not even through the open. In fact, I didn't even get to my first take, and they're already on you, old man. War Ike sliding into Willie Murphy's DMs. We talked about Willie Murphy. We've seen her act. I would not be sliding into her DMs without her permission. I don't mess with Willie Murphy. War Ira holding his book signing in a public restroom at the park.
TheIraCraig@yahoo.com.
All right, and one long form to start the Thanksgiving Eve program off. This email reads, Happy Thanksgiving, Jim. The clones are so thankful for the arduous 15-hour work weeks that you put in 20 times a year to entertain and inform us. May we show our gratitude through a lovely poem. Tomorrow is the day we all express our thanks for fat smack, rat smack, bum smack, crackbacks, coaches, gyms, and cranks. We are thankful that Josh in Detroit never gets off hold, and grateful Ritt still has his wits at 95 years old. Hawk is a blessing as EP, and of course you are thankful, Jim, for there are only 26 million EPs more talented than him. But to end our thanks on a serious note, the best blessing that came to pass was the Division 7 team last night that thoroughly kicked Duke's ass. Wishbone, breakingly yours, Denlesks, non-yam eater. All right. I told you I will break format for the right content. Right off the very top, 1-800-636-8686. So every so often in sports, you get one of those moments. One of those moments where you just say, holy crap. Last night, one of those moments went down in Cameron Indoor. Duke was hosting Stephen F. Austin, and it went down in the most dramatic way possible. in a tie game in OT. The Lumberjacks battling like crazy on defense. They get the ball and they do this.
Silk starting him again down the right side. Bounce it down low, knocked away by Ware. It's loose. David Kinsmill comes up with it. Here's Bain on the other end. Bain on the breakaway. Bain on the dunk and the buzzer. Lumberjacks win. The Jacks have just beaten Duke at the buzzer. 85-83. SFA has knocked off the number one team in the country.
Stephen F. Austin Radio. Nathan Bain. Nathan Bain, Stephen F. Austin, raise the axe. Shout out to the legend, Thomas Walkup. I mean, hell yes, your voice is going to crack on something like that, because that's unreal. Stephen F. Austin, 85. Duke, 83. In overtime, in Cameron Indoor. There are buzzer beaters, and then there is that. What an amazing way to pull off a ridiculous upset. The ball left Bane's hand with roughly a tenth of a second left, and it goes down. Think about how ridiculous that was. 45 minutes into that game. A game where Bain had played 34 minutes. He gets the ball roughly 80 feet from the basket. He goes on a sprint. He does not call a timeout. You know the guy had to be gassed. His lungs and legs burning.
Burning.
The clock is ticking down. And this guy finished the play, held it like an absolute legend. And the way he described it to Brendan Marks after the game made it seem way easier than it actually was.
I took a quick glance at the clock. I saw he had like 3 seconds. And I pointed, I was like, just throw it ahead. I'm trying to chase it down. I could feel somebody on my back. But I just took another glance the whole time I was dribbling. I'm like, I got to get it up. I got to get it up. So just like a layup drill, just put it on the glass and it's going to go in. And that's what happened. And then the rest is history. History made. You know, we did it.
You sure as hell did it, Nathan. Amazing. And I love how he described it being like a layup drill. Except that was no layup drill. No layup drill involves you trying to stay ahead of a defender with split seconds left on the clock to beat the number one team in the country and pull off the biggest win in school history. Then again, this is Nathan Bain we're talking about. The pride of Freeport, Bahamas. And in the last few hours, the world has gotten to know his story and the story of his family, a story which includes them losing nearly everything in Hurricane Dorian.
Man, it's just, I'm trying real hard not to get emotional. You know, my family lost a whole lot this year. Whew, I'm not going to cry on TV. My family lost a whole lot this year. And, you know, I'm just playing this game for them, you know? Just playing for my SFA family, my family back home in the Bahamas. You know, I just want to make my country proud. And my whole team is behind me. My other two seniors, you know, John Cramptel, but he was giving us energy. He won, provided a spark for us, you know, the team effort. You know, and when everything happened early inside the year, you know, they had my back, and I just wanted to return the favor. You know?
What a moment. What a great moment. Of course, being the guy to knock off Duke does not change the pain of everything in his life or change the fact that his family lost essentially everything. But if you made a movie about last night, that'd be too much. It would be too Hollywood, because that wasn't just an upset. That was the upset. That was as incredible an upset as you're ever going to see. That was a Tuesday night game in November. That was the 262nd team in the KenPom rankings against the number one team in the country in their house. That was such an overlooked game. It was a regional broadcast. This is Duke. They're on TV. More than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
And Beave. The Beave was probably on more TVs last night at the start of that game than Duke and Stephen F. Austin. Stephen freaking Austin. The same Stephen F. Austin that lost to Rutgers by 12 their last time out. They were a 28-point dog last night, but they came in on a mission as SFA coach. Kyle Keller said, quote, "I told our players, banners can't beat us tonight. The players have to beat us," end quote. And they couldn't. Duke's banners couldn't. Duke's players couldn't. That was SFA's night. And that wasn't some underdog who came in and shot the lights out either from deep. That's supposed to be the path to an upset like that. But SFA made 2 3-pointers all night long. They weren't even on fire from the free throw line. And they were down by 15 at one point. But Keller's crew just kept working. They kept raising the axe, and they killed Duke in the paint. The Lumberjacks were doing work, 64 points in the paint, and they got after it on D. Hey, they'll turn you over. That's a fact. We know this about the Lumberjacks. They came into last night leading the nation in turnovers, and they forced Duke into 22 turnovers and multiple shot clock violations. Bain said it best, quote, "People don't like pressure. Everybody wants to be comfortable, be able to see the floor. It's a winning formula. You deny passes, you pressure the ball, you make people play one-on-one, and that's hard. You can't do that for 40 minutes. You have to have some great lungs," end quote. SFA's got great lungs and some huge heart. And Coach K said afterwards, "They were just better than we were.
This isn't just about us not showing up or whatever. They played really well." And, you know, sometimes when I'm talking about what we didn't do, I don't want to disrespect their performance. Their performance was outstanding, and they deserve their recognition for that, not that we didn't do something. They did it to us. They made us look bad.
It's a classy, classy response. That's how you handle that, because that had to be one of the most disappointing things ever. I mean, how ridiculous was that win? That's the first time Duke has lost to a non-conference opponent at home since St. John's got him back in 2000. Many of the guys playing last night weren't even born then. That was a St. John's team that had Eric Barkley and Bootsy Thornton. That was a St. John's team adjusting to life without Ron Artest, who had been drafted 8 months earlier. That's how long ago that was. That's the kind of history we're talking about. And what does that history sound like? It sounds kind of like this. Check out the audio on this video from the stands. Screaming from the stands. It sounds almost too good to be true. The OG himself, Thomas Walkup, retweeted that with the caption, quote, "The gasps, the screams of terror, the roar from the small section of purple. It's all beautiful," end quote. It is beautiful. It's perfect. It's just this side of, oh my God, this is not happening. Oh my God, this is not happening. Oh my God, this is not happening. Nathan Bain left Duke fans feeling like they just smashed 40 pizzas in 30 days.
40 pizzas in 30 days.
And left Duke haters feeling like they were on top of the world. Raise the axe. Finally, if you didn't know it, when a 25-point dog, Evansville, pooped in Cal's ice cream a few weeks back, now you know. A Stephen F. Austin, 27.5-point dog, just beat number one Duke in their house. There is no dominant team in college basketball. Not now. Maybe not the rest of the season. And it's going to make the tournament and the season itself awesome. Am I right, Cal?
There's a bucket of poop and there's a bucket of ice cream. You can put all the ice cream in that poop that you want. It doesn't change it. But one little pinch of that poop in that ice cream ruins that ice cream. And I'll tell a guy, you, my man, are the poop in our ice cream.
To extend that analogy, there's a carpet. And there's a cat, and the cat crapped on the carpet, and it wrecked my carpet. True story. I got a picture this morning from Janet. Man, there's no way that was Cody the Ragdoll cat. That had to have been Sapphire. Nice going. You, my cat, are the dump on the carpet. Bruce Smith, when we come back, the Hall of Famer joins us. Big dump on the carpet. Thanks for nothing.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Thanksgiving Eve. What's going on? I'm Jim Rome. I am live. I'm in Southern California. And I've got a Hall of Famer for you. Pro Football Hall of Fame, College Football Hall of Fame, 9-time All-Pro, 11-time Pro Bowler, 200 career sacks, most all-time. Bruce Smith, Bruce Smith, A Football Life, premieres Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. The NFL 100 All-Time Team Series continues Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network, and it reveals the defensive linemen and linebackers who made that team. We are joined right now by Bruce Smith. Bruce, it's nice to have you back on. How are you?
Jim, it's good to be back on, and haven't talked to you in a while. I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to you and all of your listeners.
You too, Bruce. Great to hear your voice, and so nice to have you back. I'm thrilled to talk to you, and there's so many things that we could talk about, especially as it relates to being the subject of A Football Life. But let me take you back, and I want to reference your Hall of Fame speech. It was 1985. You had arrived in minicamp, and you and Andre Reed, you see dark clouds off in the distance, and then within minutes, there's rain, there's hail, there's snow, Bruce. What was going through your mind when all of that was happening?
And then I said, what the hell have I gotten myself into? Yeah, I had never seen weather that extreme before in all of my life, whereas I saw rain, hail, and then snow come down all in a matter of 30 minutes, and then the sun came back out. But it was quite an experience and a wake-up call for me, and I got to tell you, it's a wonderful place to play football and be appreciated by all of your hard work and your efforts and your dedication to the game.
We're talking to Bruce Smith. He's a Hall of Famer. Bills Mafia, I know you're thrilled to hear that too. So your first season in Buffalo, the team goes 2-14, but you were there, Andre Reed was there, Daryl Talley was there, and the next year Jim Kelly arrives. When did you start to get the sense that something really special could happen with this group?
Well, we started putting the pieces together, I believe, in that 85 draft. We already had staples like Daryl Talley and Fred Smirlis was there, and Jim Haslett and a few other guys that were mainstays for that team for a number of years. But then they understood they had to upgrade the talent at key positions. And obviously, the two most important positions on a football team is a quarterback and a pass rusher. By far, those are the two most important positions on a team. So once we started going down that road, we sealed Andre Reed in the draft in 85. We got Jim Kelly in I believe 86, 87. We got Marv Levy on board in 86, and then got Thurman Thomas. So we strategically put players on the team, as well as coaches and front office. We had already had Bill Polian, who really orchestrated putting this team together. And one thing started happening, and I think a few of the final pieces was the acquisition of Steve Tasker, who I feel is the greatest special teams player, all-around special teams player that has ever played the game, and Cornelius Bennett. Once we were able to put all those pieces together, we started gelling and coming together as a team, and we started learning how to become a pro under the leadership of Marv Levy, and that's when our career started taking off.
Hall of Famer Bruce Smith is joining us here in the jungle. Bruce, you mentioned Steve Tasker, and as part of the documentary, Tasker talks about how you grew into, quote, an icon, Mount Rushmore, a leader of men, a guy you could just get behind, just a completely different human being, end quote. That is amazing praise. What does it mean to you to hear a teammate talk about you with that kind of love and respect?
Yeah, it was very humbling, and I was honored to be able to be thought of in those terms. But it didn't come easy. There was a maturation process. I was a young kid. I was 20 years old when I was drafted. Actually, I was told 2 months prior to the draft that I was going to be the number one pick in the draft. So that was a foregone conclusion. When the draft actually rolled around, became an instant millionaire at the age of 20 years old. But I didn't know how to be a pro. I had so much to learn. I was green and wet behind the ears, and it was a process for me. And that process included my teammates like Daryl Talley. That process included Marv Levy teaching each and every one of us how to be a pro. I remember some of the childish and sometimes immature things that I would do, particularly when I sacked the quarterback my first and second year. I would dance over the quarterback and so forth. Well, that's not being a pro. It's okay to be excited. It's okay to show that you're enthused and so forth. But shortly after Marv came and he started instilling those kind of traits and behavior patterns within us, I started helping the quarterback up. But I tell him that I'll be back real soon. And those are the things that I learned under the leadership and the coaching of Marv Levy and general manager Bill Polian, and just learning how to be a professional.
Bruce Smith is a Hall of Famer. Bruce Smith, The Football Life, premieres Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. You know, Bruce, as part of being a leader, I mean, I don't want to embarrass you with a bunch of stories from teammates talking about what you meant to them, but there is one more. Scott Norwood said that after he missed the kick in Super Bowl 25, you went to his hotel room and you told him, quote, "It wasn't you, Scotty," and you gave him a huge hug. Norwood said how much that meant to him. Why was that something that was so important for you to do?
Well, I just knew he had the weight of the world on his shoulders, and while most probably turned their backs and wanted to abandon him, that's not the time to treat a person that way. Obviously, you know, we would have wanted him to make that kick. Unfortunately, he didn't make the kick, and we have to live with the consequences. Having said that, we all could have done something, one play a little bit better, executed a play a little bit better. In my particular case, when I got that sack and the safety in the end zone, I got a 15-yard penalty for excessive celebration. So I looked upon myself in saying that I could have done something a little bit better to provide a better outcome for the game. And if we all looked at ourselves and thought of it in terms of what could we have done to change the outcome of the game so we wouldn't have been put in that situation, I think they would have felt the same way I felt. But I think the world of Scott Norwood, it's unfortunate he missed a kick, and that's probably what he will always be remembered by. But I'm a guy that I'm an optimist. I look at the cup as being half full instead of half empty. I think we had a historic team, one in which history has treated us kindly over the years.
And Bruce, I've always said this, and I was never trying to be flip. I mean, I meant this. I think it takes a hell of a good football team to lose four Super Bowls, and I mean that sincerely. That was a great, great team. Even if you didn't get that one, it takes a damn good football team to lose four Super Bowls. You know, let me ask you before you go about Jim Kelly. He comes on the show quite a bit. And one of the things that he's mentioned is the trips that some of you guys take. And there's that great story from a few years back. Before Kelly had his jersey retired, y'all got together in Sonoma. And at one point you said to him, "Jim, how do you get your jersey retired before us? You weren't even the best player on that team." And quote, he thought that was hilarious. He loved that, Bruce. What do you remember about that conversation? And what's it like when you guys do get together?
Oh man, I got to tell you, when we get together, we just think outside of the box and we rag on one another, and it's just that family type of atmosphere that you have that special relation and that brotherhood that exists, that you just enjoy the laughter and the moments and the trips to Sonoma, Napa Valley to go out and just spend some quality time with your teammates and so forth. But, you know, one point I would like to bring up before before we wrap up.
You bet.
You know, shooting this football life was one of the most difficult times in my life because the moment, the day that we were supposed to do this shoot, I found out that my best friend, one of my dearest and best friends in the whole world, was just hit by a car at 5 a.m. in the morning, and that was the champ, Pernell Sweet Pea Whitaker. We went to high school together. We grew up together, and I had to continue with the shoot. The shoot was supposed to start at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't get myself together because I was so distraught, and I was heartbroken. But it was a very difficult shoot to get through, knowing that I had lost one of the my best friends that I had ever had in this whole world. And it's still, I still think about him every day. Every day that I drive down that street, I look over at that corner in remembrance of my dear friend, Pernell Sweepy Whitaker, the champ.
Bruce Smith, my guest. Bruce, since you mentioned that, before I let you go, Sweepy, he was such a great fighter. He was such a great fighter. And the fact that you guys grew up together, can you remember what was that time like when you guys were young and you had dreams of taking over the world and dominating your respective sports? What kind of thoughts and discussions would you guys have back in the day? What was it like?
Well, pound for pound, he was the greatest fighter in that era. And it was incredible. We never thought about taking over the world, but we thought of becoming the best that our sport had ever seen at that point in time. We knew where we came from, which was the inner city in Norfolk, Virginia. We knew the challenges and the obstacles that we faced and we overcame. We understood who we were representing in Norfolk, and it made us so proud to be from this area, and particularly Booker T. Washington High School, to have a world champion and an Olympic gold boxer coming out of that high school, and to have the number one player picked in the NFL draft coming out of Booker T. Washington High School. So we were representing the hometown, this region, and I just tell you, it was a bond like you've never seen before. When we get together, it would just be so much laughter and love that was spread around, not just between us, but people could see it and feel it and understood that this was real. This was as real as it could be.
Bruce Smith, A Football Life, premieres Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. The NFL 100 All-Time Team Series continues Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network, and they're going to reveal the defensive linemen and linebackers who made that team. He's a Hall of Famer. Bruce, it is so good to get caught up. It is great to hear your voice, and I'm so glad we could have this time together. I really appreciate that, bro. Bruce, very much.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on, Jim. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too, Bruce. Great to get caught up. Thank you so much. And I appreciate your thoughts on Sweepy. Bruce Smith, 9-time All-Pro, 11-time Pro Bowler, 200 career sacks, still most of all time. That is such a great conversation. Bills Mafia, your thoughts, your reaction to it. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so we're open right now. I've got two interviews coming up in hour number three. The WBC heavyweight champ, Deontay Wilder, Bomb Squad, Keaton Slovis, USC quarterback in the third hour. Albie's 3 days to work, too. So, guys, how many of you are guilty of using your wife or your girlfriend shampoo in the shower? I would imagine more than a few of you. Have you considered the importance of using a product that, I don't know, is designed for you? You know, men's hair? After all, your hair is different. Dove Men Plus Care has created a hair care range designed to fortify men's hair. Give it the care it needs to stay strong and healthy. Do your family and your hair a favor. Get your own products. Dove Men Plus Care for stronger, more resilient hair. And it is available at Walmart. Dove Men Plus Care. Bottom of hour number one. I owe you a sports update. Here it is. Andrew.
Live from Southern California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I want to hammer that point home. It takes a hell of a football team to lose four Super Bowls in a row. And again, I'm not being funny. I'm not being flip. That's not shtick. It takes a damn good football team to lose four Super Bowls. And they were that. Man, they were loaded. The K-Gun. Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, Steve Tasker, Daryl Talley, Nate Odoms, Bruce, Cornelius Bennett. One of my favorite tour stops ever was the Buffalo tour stop. And for those of you who are there, I think a lot of you remember me coming in a white Bronco. I did drive in a white Bronco in Buffalo, and it was amazing. But lost in all of that, and I'm trying to think back, I believe Daryl Talley was there that day. I know Scotty Bowman showed up that day. That was an amazing tour stop. And those Buffalo Bills teams were incredible. And guys used to come on. I loved talking to the Bills back in the day. Bruce Smith, you could tell he knew where he was today. It was so great to have him back on. He would come on. Jim Kelly's always come on the program. Andre Reed would come on. Steve Tasker, Daryl Talley, Biscuit, Cornelius Bennett. No, did not have the juice when he was running crazy before he started killing people. Did not have the juice on the program. Marv Levy came on. Those were good, good times. And then when I went to Buffalo for the first time, it lived up to all the hype. This is why I love that town and why I always say the NFL is so much better when the Bills are good. And right now the Bills are good. 8-3. They're good. Dallas is not nearly as good as they were supposed to be, but both of them need to beat somebody who matters. That's why I love that matchup tomorrow. Both of them need to beat somebody who matters. Dallas has not beaten anybody with a winning record. And the Bills take some heat for being 8-3, but not beating anybody who matters. Listen, still, winning in the NFL is not easy. It's hard. You get credit if you take care of your business. They're 8-3. They're going to make it to the postseason, but they've got a chance to make a statement. If they can go to Dallas and beat a desperate Cowboy team, because the Cowboys are on that short week and they're under fire. The Clapper is under significant fire. I don't think that Jerry Jones, I'm going to lay this out a little bit later on, I don't think Jerry Jones would ever make a move in season on his head coach. But he already put the guy on blast. And if Buffalo comes in and beats Dallas in a game Dallas has to have and does it on Thanksgiving in their house, I'm not saying that Jera, and he's running around with Jell-O in both his hands. Man, he loves that analogy, doesn't he? I'm not saying that he would do the Clapper midseason, but there's no way he makes it through the offseason if he loses that game. Short of them going on a deep run of the postseason, and based on what we've seen from them this year, that's not happening. So that's a good, good matchup. Hey, Rome, I'm a little late getting to the podcast with Kevin and Bean, but I listened to it this morning. Definitely one of my favorites. Such a good conversation. It didn't have an interview feel. More like a couple of guys just sitting around telling great stories. I'm always fascinated hearing how people get to where they are. Most people never know the career changes, struggles, or rejection that come along with being successful. That podcast definitely left me wanting to hear more. I've been listening to your show for a long time. I think I speak for a lot of the clones in saying we always love hearing those behind-the-scenes stories from you as well. Congrats to all three of you on the Radio Hall of Fame. Jamie in Green Bay. That's got me thinking, actually, Jamie. And I'm glad you heard that, and I appreciate that. I've been talking lately to authors about a book, maybe writing a book finally. And I had a really interesting conversation with somebody from William Morris yesterday about maybe rebooting the Tour Stops 2.0. Never like it was back in the day because the world's changed. But I can imagine maybe getting out there, hitting the theater circuit, you know, going out there, maybe sharing part of the story. I don't know. We're talking about it. Would you be a part of that if I reboot that? Now, it's not going to be like it was back in the day. Namely, it would not be free. But if I were to take this thing on the road, not for air and not for a podcast, but just a live show, is that something you would come and see? So we're thinking about that too. I think that would be a good forum and a good venue for me to kind of tell those stories. Hey, Jim, is there a beef jerky segment today? If so, I've got a few things to get off my chest, but I'm going to need more than 3 minutes. Warmest regards, Mrs. Tesh. Brian and Charlotte wore Louis Slungpu being named Chip Kelly's new D coordinator.
Anytime now, Alvin. Alvin. 1-1000. 2 Mississippi. 3 Mississippi.
Louis Slungpu. I hope I pronounced the last name correctly.
Yes, ma'am. It's Slungpu.
Oh, thank you very much. What can you tell us about this? Or is it something you've ever seen before like this?
You know, we had a pressure break around sunset, and the cherry bomb must have popped through the top of the pipe and just blew the bottom right out of it.
Is this something that happens because of the UCLA campus and kids playing around, or is it the high school campus, or do you know the source?
Right now, we're still in the investigation phase. It just seems that the break might have come somewhere around the Poly Pavilion area, one of the locker rooms. It was either a cherry bomb or someone took a really large dump, you know?
That is an incredible. So, are you 100% sure about that?
That's a fake call.
Oh, we lost him. I'm sorry about that. We hope to get him back and find out how they're going to close down.
Are you really sure about that? Do you really think, Mr. Slungpoo, are you there? Mr. Slungpoo, do you think that's what that was? Was it somebody taking a really large dump? They had a flood at UCLA in 2014. And so the local anchors are on the air just yapping it up, talking about it. And then what do you know? Lewis Slungpoo gets through on the call-in line to tell them exactly what happened. He's setting it up, hooking them. And then when they say, well, what happened? Is that something that happens there often? How would you explain that? What do you think it is? I think maybe somebody took a really large dump. And she tries to follow him up like the journo that she is. Oh, okay. Meanwhile, anchor dude off to the side, who's a little bit quicker on the uptake, not quick enough, but a little bit quicker, says, no, that's a prank call. That's why we get Slungpoo resets.
Lewis Slungpoo.
Warm Ella. I love the way he corrects her on the pronunciation of his fake name.
Lewis Slungpoo.
And the email was from, quote, Mrs. Tesh. Mrs. Tesh is a thing because of the Radio Hall of Fame. My feeling was what happened inside that room should probably stay inside that room, but others, of course, did not feel the same way, and it leaked. Well, and then we talked about it on the podcast with Kevin and Bean. There is that. So, no, I didn't talk about it on this show, but we talked about it on the podcast. Another reason why you want to listen to the podcast, there is premium content. Premium content, check it, exclusive content. Content that you cannot get here, and it's free. Just listen to it. But in case you missed it really quickly, and it's for public record, it's out there, John Tesh was one of the Hall of Fame inductees that same night. And his wife, actress Connie Selica, was leading him in, and she did the induction speech, and we were all told prior to the evening, the person introducing you gets 3 minutes. You get 5 minutes. We're going to hold you to that. We ran long last year. It's really important that everybody stay on time. Stay on the clock. Well, we're all radio pros, right? We're not only radio pros, we're Radio Hall of Famers. We know the clock. We can hit our posts. Unfortunately, some people ran long. And she ran really long, and they cut her mic and took her off, and he took great offense to that. And it seemed like it was going to be okay. The Radio Hall of Fame profusely apologized, profusely owned it, said they were sorry, said they wish they handled it better. I saw him after the fact. He and Connie actually were very nice. When I walked out, they were very nice. Big smiles. Connie looked at us and said, are those your boys? Really nice. But I think that he went home maybe and it didn't sit well with him. And he gave back the award. So that's why I'm still getting these things. We go to hour number two, which is an open phone hour. And I've got a lot more to talk about. It's getaway day. Thanksgiving Eve. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. Stay tuned.